The first item we'll take up is item 7, public comment. This is an opportunity for the public to comment on any item that is not on today's agenda. Is there anyone who wishes to be heard? Yes, sir. Ms. Hall, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you all?
Good
afternoon. And I really hadn't planned on doing this, but when you all were talking about difficulties with getting the... About the reports, it brought back to my mind some of the problems that I've had personally and other watermen I know have had in keeping up with all of the regulation changes that affect the crabbing and fishing and all the industry. And even know that a crab buyer who was trying to get information as to when the harvest of the black sponge crab was to be closed asked a law enforcement official, and they didn't know. They had to actually get their hook. I don't know who this was. This is secondhand. But so evidently there are so many regulations that it might even be hard for them to keep up with. And I've also had problems myself, and I've talked to others that have had problems navigating the VMRC website to locate, you know, specific regulations that maybe we want to try and find out, you know, what is the law. And I just didn't know how this might be simplified so that, you know, we could all at least have the information more readily available and try to keep up with all the changes.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Chris.
Good afternoon. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak. I'm Chris Ledford. I'm a commercial fisherman here in Virginia, specifically in Virginia Beach, and it was nice enough to meet a number of you folks last month, and I alluded to a commitment I was hoping to make to get back down here every month and you know, at least utilize the public comment period just to, you know, keep you briefed on a few things that are going on. Yeah, I don't know where to start here. I'm probably going to touch on something, and I don't think I'm going to violate your request, Commissioner, and it will be related to something that's on the agenda today, but not specifically to any of the actions that you're going to be looking at. But I wanted to just take a minute and, if you would, just go back to 1999, if you would, with me. And I wanted to remind you of a occurrence that happened in the New York area with the West Nile virus outbreak. It was pretty tragic. I think 15 lives were lost. It was a big deal in the media. Subsequently, the largest mosquito eradication effort the country's ever seen ensued. Since then, a number of things have happened, one of which has been the lobsters dying off in Long Island Sound. My request for you today is that sometime in the next couple of days, go to Google, do a search, and look up larval lobster, picture of a larval lobster. Please also look up a picture of a larval blue crab. And then lastly, I ask you to look up a picture of a larval mosquito, and I challenge you to see very much of a difference between the three. The large effort to eradicate mosquitoes in the New York area, and it's just about been, there's plenty of evidence, there's a lot of scientific evidence and study going on, but there is a relationship between the targeting of mosquito larvae and then the other larval insects and lobsters in that area. I will say that since then, we also had West Nile and equine encephalitis outbreaks at the same time, 1999 and 2000, Virginia. Since then, mosquito eradication has also been a large effort. The second thing I'm going to ask you then is to look at, in addition to what you have, the challenge ahead of you today, and I know it's a big challenge, and I appreciate your efforts towards that, but look at the crab problem from the standpoint of chemistry, from pesticides, and work with the health department, work with Rhode Island, potentially the research being done up there on the lobster. You know, try to find, there's something else going on here. And today, there'll probably be decisions made that will again cause the fishermen to suffer. And unfortunately, that seems to be a lot of times the easiest way to work on these problems. But again, I think that the mosquito eradication has a lot to do with the suffering of the Virginia blue crab, the Chesapeake Bay blue crab. With that in mind, also please look at some of the things that are coming down the road that I alluded to last time, and I'll be more specific, and that is some requests to have red drum liberalized, the take of. Also to have commercial hook and line fishing liberalized. Right now we are only allowed to have 200 commercial hook and line fishermen. There is a mass exodus from the crab fishery. We need to give these people something to do besides, and they're doing it well, grow oysters, but also to harvest finfish. We have a great demand for U.S. finfish and domestic finfish, not imported finfish. So please look at the efforts of some of the other groups, namely the Finfish Subcommittee and some maybe even coming out of Crab Subcommittee, having that relate to the red drum, you know, population. I think I'm not going to finish well here. I was hoping to transition into a close. But, again, I hate to see, you know, say the fishermen, we've got to give them something else to do, some other way, you know, to make money. And I think capitalizing on some of these other more healthy fisheries is a way to do it. And, again, please take a look at those larval lobsters, crabs, and mosquitoes and see if you can't see the similarities. And then maybe we look at also at the problem in Long Island Sound. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I had no intentions of speaking at this part of the meeting until Chris spoke, and Chris is a fantastic spokesman. But he was looking for things to for watermen to move into while we're here, and I know there are watermen in this room, and some are from the Middle Peninsula. Last winter on the Northern Neck, the Virginia Watermen's Association got a grant, and they worked with the Community College and the Northern Neck Planning Commission to train watermen in ecotourism. And it's a heritage program to preserve the heritage of the Chesapeake Bay and the watermen. We had 12 people participate in that program. All of them got a certificate. It's come about that I think we've gotten another $50,000 grant to advertise this, and the watermen are being tied up with bed and breakfasts and wineries and different things to employ them. Maryland started something similar to this in the crab disaster of 2008, and their watermen are getting anywhere from $400 for half a day to $700 for a full-day trip. It's a heritage program where you go out and you could show them how you crab, how you shed crabs, how you aquaculture. Or you can just take them on a boat ride and explain the John Smith Trail to them and what it meant to your family. This winter in November, we're starting the second phase of this, and it's going to be held on the Middle Peninsula at the Glens campus. So any waterman that would like to get involved in this, it's going to be from, I think it's 4 days meeting, from 3 to 7 o'clock. But if they see me after this meeting, I can get them an application for them. But it's a... It's a good way to diversify your business. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Anyone else? Okay. We'll close the public comment.